Welcome to the show. You know where you are. Expert Talk with me, Tego. And today is, well, you know, I always say every show is special, but today's show is really special. If you guys knew me at all before the last couple of years, I had a really big gap that I was known for. People would see me literally on the streets of London and say, I knew you in the Philippines or Japan or somewhere, because they remembered the gap. And then I went and saw this young man that's coming up on the show, and clearly he has fixed that. Aha. So maybe it's never too late to fix the issues you think may be an issue for you. Like I thought my gap was an issue for me. So today, we've got Dr. Nadeem Gurgis in the house. I call him Dr. G. He's here. We're going to talk to him. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is brought to you in part by PodNation TV, the podcast to broadcast network. For more information about Mountain View Orthodontics, call 702-784-0500.
Hey, Dr. G, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tego. I'm super excited to be here.
I'm super excited for you being here because we've been talking about this, man, through my whole journey in your office. We talk about it almost every time I come in. When are you coming on the show? And now you're here. I'm so excited.
Now I'm here. I'm excited to be here.
So we're going to get into, you know, if it's ever too late and all that stuff for age and adults and all that kind of stuff first. But I want to know your journey, because you're like one of the coolest doctors I've ever had. I mean, even your sock game is tight. They can't see your socks right now, but you always have on the coolest socks. What made you decide to do this? You could have done anything. What made you decide to go here?
Yeah, good question. Thanks for the sock shout out. We try to keep it exciting. So we always want to look fresh. So I'm Egyptian. I don't know if you knew that about me. Maybe we didn't talk about it. I know you're well traveled. So I grew up in Egypt, and it's sort of a cultural thing when you're from Egypt that you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or engineer. That's kind of how we're brought up. And so my parents were really big on that. And so I always kind of leaned towards medical, dental somewhere. Didn't quite know what I wanted to do. And then I used to work at a computer store randomly, and I sold a bunch of computers to a doctor, a dentist. And we got to talking. He was Egyptian too, just like serendipitous. And we started talking and told him I'm interested. And he said, hey, anytime you want to come by my office and check it out. And so I called him up. He let me come by. And before I knew it, I was going once a week and assisting and kind of learning on the job and seeing what he does, and thought it was pretty cool. So I got into dental school. And then, you know, the one thing I really couldn't get over in dentistry is people didn't love being there. You know, you're there to help them. And I think dentistry is a big field. Right. And so,
yeah, we're terrified of it. I'm going to tell you now, we're terrified. We'd rather go jump off a building with a parachute than go to a dentist. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And you know, you're not alone. That's a really, really common thing. And so I learned that early on in dental school. You know, I liked what I was doing, but I didn't like sort of the feeling it gave people. And so it was also during that time that I looked at my own smile, as you know, as we learn about teeth and bites and everything else, I started looking at my own teeth thinking, you know, these aren't where they're supposed to be. And so I got braces during dental school because I wanted to fix my teeth. And you know, my orthodontist was kind enough to let me observe and hang out in his office, and it was a whole different experience, let me tell you. I mean, people come there, and first of all, usually they're going there because they want to change their smile and they're excited to be there. They just love going. They're seeing progress. They're happy to be there. It was like a party at the office, right? So ortho was definitely different. And you know, I spent a few days there and I was like, I need to do this. And so that was kind of what I shifted my focus to. I don't know, a little background on dental training. You do dental school, it's 4 years.
Okay.
And if you're going to specialize, there's a few different specialty fields, orthodontics being one of them. You then complete a residency program. So mine was an additional 2.5 years after dental school.
Wow.
And that just focuses on specialty training only in orthodontics. So Went out to the Bay Area to do that. And then practiced a little bit in California and then relocated back to Vegas where I grew up and, you know, started my practice here. So, and then here we are.
Wow. You know, I did not know that. I knew that because I have a godson that went through medical school and all of that kind of stuff and decided he wanted to find himself in the last semester. We'll get it. I need therapy about that, but he wouldn't finish. He's a great doctor now. But yeah. I didn't know that you had to go to an extended time of school in order to be an orthodontist. I didn't know that about the dentistry field. I don't think anybody really knows what you guys do because you guys have to do a little bit like pre-med too, right? Before you even get into being a dentist.
Yeah, so 4 years of college, typically. My major was in biology. Okay. And then from there, then you do the 4-year dental specific training, which is all of dentistry. And then if you want to specialize, you kind of hone your skills and zoom in on one area, which for me was orthodontics. And that was, you know, anywhere from another 2 to 3 years, depending on where you do your training.
So it's over a decade of training. I mean, and especially if you can't go straight through because some people have to stop and work a job or they need a break.
Yeah.
Whatever. So it could be 10, 15 years of your life before you actually are working in someone else's office, not even your own office. Correct.
Yeah. It's quite the journey for sure.
Wow. So let's go back a minute because, you know, people are going, wait, he's Egyptian. You don't get a lot of people on the show that says I'm Egyptian. And yeah. I knew you had shared that with me in the office one time. I think in my first appointment, we talked about that. But were you actually born there and then raised here? How did that work?
Yeah, I was born in Egypt and then my family and I immigrated here when I was 8 years old. So we lived in Las Vegas ever since I was in elementary school. So I say I grew up in Vegas, even though the first part of my life, I grew up in Egypt. So
do you ever get a chance to go back? That's one of the places on my bucket list. You know, if COVID ever gets a grip, get out COVID, and we can actually travel freely like we used to. That is one of the places on my bucket list is to go to Egypt. Have you been able to go back? Do you have family there?
I do have family there, but I'm sad to say I have not been back. It's a big trip. I mean, I think it's a 17-hour, you know, cross-Atlantic flight. And as you imagine, been busy many years in training and now I have little ones. And so I'm not quite ready for the 17-hour flight with them. But as they get a little older, that's definitely the plan because I want them to see it too. So.
Yeah, they're going to want to know their history. I mean, they can say something I bet you not too many people in their class can say, you know, my dad's Egyptian. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Hey, hold on. What's going on? You know, and to be able to say we're going home to our motherland and it's Egypt, that's amazing. That's
Thank
fantastic.
You, yeah.
I think you probably got great stories from your mom that she's probably sharing with your little ones by now.
Yeah, she's the one that insists she has to teach them the Arabic because I don't want them to forget that language, but I don't use it enough every day. So I told my mom it's her responsibility to make sure they can speak it. So,
okay. You want to be careful because if they can speak it better than you, they could be talking
That's
about
true.
You at the dining room table and you don't know.
That's you true. Know? I got to watch out for that.
So let's talk about your practice because I am one of your patients. That's how I met you. And we'll get into that after the break. But let's talk about your practice. What made you decide I'm going to break out and start my own practice as opposed to folding in to an established practice that's already here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about opportunity. The biggest thing that you find now, you know, medicine, everyone knows, is all groups and corporates, and there's not, you know, family doctor or private practice anymore. Mm-hmm. Dentistry's still like that, which, you know, so for me, obviously, when you get out of school, student loans, you need to get experience, get a job. And so I worked for a corporate group for a while. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of patients, it's not quite the way you do everything, you know, you can't control all the different parts of it. And for me, what's really big is doing things, you know, when I say my way, not so much, it's just about the way I want the patients to experience it, right? And hopefully, you know, that you can ring true to that because you have experienced it firsthand. But I really want to be
able
to. I
can, and we'll get into that because I really can.
And so for me, I wanted to be able to treat patients the way I wanted to treat them, be able to, you know, shape the experience for them from the day they come in to all the way through their treatment. And I thought the best way for me to do that was to be able to, you know, set something up, you know, with my vision.
You know, we're going to get into my experience and all that after the break, but I do want to step in right now and just tell you, you know, everybody knows I'm 57 years old. I've lived all over the world and I understand about the 17-hour flight. I used to go to Hong Kong all the time. That's 16 hours from LA. So it's always quite interesting, especially when people bring little ones on the plane. But I want to say something right here. You have a way with your staff and with your team that you guys seem like a family. you know, when you come in the door, they know your name, even with the mask on. I'm like, they're not going to know me because I got them walking the door. They're like, hey, Joyce, how are you? I'm like, wow, okay. And you always are there when I come in. It's not, you know, somebody else and the doctor said hi, which is usually the case, unless you're doing a major procedure or you're actually putting something in, you usually don't see the doctor. And you make sure that not only do you see you, but you actually stop and check almost every patient that comes through. I know you have every time I've been there. Yeah. I at least spend at least a 5-minute visit with you to see how I'm doing, how I'm feeling, how they're fitting. I have really, like, I don't want to say enjoyed this experience, but I've enjoyed this experience. And we'll get into that.
You can say enjoy.
Yeah. It's different. And people think I'm crazy. It's like, wait a minute. You enjoyed having braces. And I immediately tell them they're not braces. Stop that. But I want to ask you, you know, what made you say, I'm going to make sure I touch every patient that comes through my doors? Why did you do that?
Well, first, I want to step back. I really appreciate what you said about the team. And I mean, that's something that's really, really important to me. And so when I kind of said earlier, I wanted to establish a practice with my vision, that was a big, big part of that vision. What I want is for it to feel like a family. And, you know, when patients come in, they're putting their trust in us. They're spending a lot of money. They're investing time. And I want them to feel like they're in the right place and they, you know, feel good where they go to have their journey with us. And so for me, it's been about finding the right team members. And I feel really fortunate. I mean, my team is great. You know, a lot of them and, you know, they know the patients, they care about the patients. So it's not just, it's Dr. G's practice and we just work there, right? They take ownership and they care about it. And that's really, really big. So I'm really glad to hear you say that because that is kind of, you know, one of the more important things to me. And then as far as, you know, the experience for the patients in terms of interacting with me and their visits, you know, you see this a lot in some in dental, but a lot in medicine too. And everyone's used to, you know, you go to a doctor's appointment for a physician, for example, you walk in, the person doesn't even look up at you, hands you a clipboard. You wait in the waiting room for 45 minutes. Then you go get your blood pressure into another room for 45 minutes. And and that's the norm, right?
That's the norm.
You're not leaving a Yelp review every doctor appointment saying I had to wait or the doctor only spent 30 seconds with me. And, you know, I didn't want it to be like that. I think, you know,
they haven't seen the doctor in a year. I saw him when I signed up. I haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have that with you.
Yeah. And that's really important. And so one, for me to get good results clinically, just focusing on the actual outcome of the teeth, I need to make sure I'm present and I'm really, you know, honing in on what we're doing and that everything is going according to plan. But back to the patient experience, for me, it's still about customer service. I mean, it's a medical practice. We're doing healthcare, but you have a choice when you go to an orthodontist or a dentist. And I want someone to not only have a good experience, but then tell their friends and their family and their audience in your case, right? Hey, this is what I felt like when I went there. Or this is what the doctor, you know, focused on when he worked with me. And that's really important to me.
You know, I was talking to someone not too long ago and they're literally on the East Coast. And they said, they're in their late 40s, early 50s. I haven't asked. And they said, you know, I've always wanted to do it, but I'm terrified to do it and blah, blah, blah. And they come to Vegas when COVID's not going on quite often. And I just literally told them, you need to wait and talk to Dr. G. You know, I'm like, when you're here, I'll take you to Dr. G. And they were like, really? And I'm like, yeah, if you're coming to Vegas all the time, you need to just see him. And then I thought, is there a rule? Do you have to live in the state where your orthodontist is? Or can they come in from another state and see you? Is there
that's
a rule
great question.
To that?
Yeah, I mean, in a way there are. So that's a really good question. I actually have a lot of patients who don't live locally. And, you know, as long as I feel that I can care for them and monitor their progress, you know, with things, and we'll get into it, like you have Invisalign, I'm only seeing the patients every, you know, 2-3 months for normal checks anyway. And as long as the patients maintain their health, they're seeing their dentist, their general dentist for the regular checkups, and they're following along what we do. You know, I have patients that fly in and see me once every 2 or 3 months, and we can do some virtual calls. And, you know, we've gotten a lot, we'll talk a little bit more about COVID times, but we've gotten creative with some of the ways we interact with our patients.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, I know, I think it's, I mean, I don't want you to come once a year. I got to be able to see you and make sure we're doing well, but I have kids that go away to college during treatment and we can, you know, maintain their treatment and see them when they come for breaks and stuff. So yeah, we make it work.
Yeah. They're in media, they're in production. They're not in front of the camera, but they are, you know, in production, and they come here for events and to cover things and do things. So they're here, you know, when the city opens up more, they'll be here. When events start happening, they'll be here. So, you know, you want me to recommend, you know, getting Invisalign or doing this procedure. I can recommend that because it's working for me. But I personally, because they asked me, well, how much of that is, you know, the people that are doing it, the dentist office that you're going to? Yeah. And I go orthodontist office. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I, but, or how much it is of it is Invisalign. I'm like, well, I've never had Invisalign before.
Yeah.
You know, I just follow what they tell me. You know, they tell me wear the stupid little rubber bands, I wear them. They tell me you don't have to wear them. I cheer all the way to the car. And it's like, I just follow what they tell me. So I'm just going to say it's Dr. G's team. And then Invisalign is like the sidekick. So come to Dr. G. Before we go to break, I want to ask you, because I know there's somebody out there watching who's wanted to, either they're in dentistry and they want to switch over and go into the orthodontist way, or maybe there's somebody in college right now going, man, I really want to get into that field. Would you recommend it? And what steps would you take if you were starting over again?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm biased, but I love it, right? I think you got to love what you do. And I'm fortunate enough that it's a job where, you know, I get to help people. I get to set a schedule. I'm not on call like a physician, you know, emergency coming in at midnight. And so it really depends on what your goals are, but I definitely would recommend it. You know, as far as the process, like we mentioned earlier, from college, you go to dental school, and then from dental school, you apply to specialty. And, you know, you have to do well in school. If you're in college or in high school thinking about it, you know, having good grades, being able to get into good programs and apply, it's competitive. A lot of dentistry is. And so I think if someone's focused enough and works hard, it's definitely achievable. And I always encourage, I have people that come shadow me that are either in college wanting to go into dentistry. I have a dental student who's a third year dental student here in town who's considering ortho, and he actually comes and shadows and, you know, asks same thing I did. I mean, that's, I like to pay it forward. It was great for me to get the experience and learn more about it. So I always encourage, I love having visitors. So
See, that was going to be my next question is, do you take on interns? Do you have people come shadow you? So that's really cool. Okay. So what we're going to do right now, because I've got 15 questions and it'll go way past the break, and then, you know, I'll get in all kinds of trouble in post. You never went to break. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to get into the details. We're going to talk about my journey and all that kind of stuff. So you guys are out there watching it. You know what we're talking about. We're going to talk about, hey, Tego, what happened to your gap? You know how many of you have said that? We're going to tell you what happened to my gap. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
For more information about Mountain View Orthodontics, call 702-784-0500.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. And today we're talking to Dr. G. Yep, my Dr. G. He's the one who changed my smile and made me go, put a camera. We're going to talk about what this journey is. We've already heard about his history. Now, Doc, let's talk about, let's start with Invisalign. I get people asking me all the time saying, hey, you could have just went to a website, ordered something, and they would send it to you in the mail, which scares, I don't buy my socks that way, but it scares the crap out of me to do that. And they have to do that mold thing. You have the state-of-the-art, coolest equipment I have ever seen in an office for dentistry or orthodontics or whatever. And you guys literally scan my teeth. I'm going to find that scan and put it up. Scan my teeth to make my Invisaligns like fit perfect. So tell me, what is the difference between just ordering them at home and having them come into Dr. G? If you run into trouble at home, who do you go to? Do you end up at Dr. G? How does that work?
Yeah, you bring up an excellent point, and actually thank you for bringing it up. You know, at home clear aligner has become really, really popular. It's a big, big business now, lots of marketing, lots of, you know, advertising. So people are seeing it. And while I'm grateful that it's bringing awareness that adults can have ortho, and we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, the benefits of adults getting ortho, you know, as they get older versus, you know, the average teenager getting treatment. Yeah. It's brought a lot of awareness to patients, but the concern is it's not clear what you're really getting. And so it brings up the misconception that all you're doing is ordering plastic and the plastic is moving your teeth and doing the treatment. Whereas I want to clarify that the plastic is a tool. Yes. And so Invisalign is a brand name that's marketed really well, so everyone knows what it is, but all it is essentially is a piece of plastic, right? What goes behind the scenes is what gets the results to happen. And so when we treat a patient with Invisalign, we do the scan that you mentioned, and you know, we wanted to do away from those goopy impressions that everyone hated at the dental office. So we've been digital for several years now, and that's, you know, that's how we do it. And so we capture a 3D image of the teeth, and then I go on and I decide which teeth need to move where, how we're going to change the teeth, the bite, and we build in all those movements. The computer software, we put special things called attachments that you're familiar with that go on your teeth to help us mm-hmm. achieve certain angles, certain movements. And that's where all the sort of magic happens, right? If it's just a piece of plastic that goes in your teeth, you know, I always joke, teeth are dumb. They don't know what to do, but you know, we guide them there. And whether we're putting brackets and wires on the teeth or we're customizing these clear aligners to move people's teeth, that's where all the artistry and kind of the science goes into it. And so, you know, going back to the at-home clear aligners, the concern is, you know, one, they advertise doctor supervision, but really you never physically see the doctor. So you're sending right. in your own pictures, you're marking that your teeth are healthy. And it's not really regulated to the point that, you know, when a patient comes to see me, we make sure they've seen their dentist regularly, they have healthy teeth, we get the check off from their dentist that they're okay to start treatment. All those things are kind of bypassed with the at-home aligners. And then just because there's no attachments, there's no doctors, there's no rubber bands, there's none of that stuff, you often can't achieve a lot of the movements people really need to get their teeth corrected. And so, you know, they may advertise 6 months, wearing them only at night, and for, you know, half the price of an orthodontist or a third of the price. What I'm finding, and you said they go Dr. Jeep as a problem. Funny enough, I mean, maybe not funny, but we've seen plenty of patients that come to us either because one, they didn't actually get the result they wanted. And so, hey, I spent money and now it's a waste of money because, you know, it might've been cheaper, but now you're coming to us anyway. Right. And you didn't get the result you wanted. Or we actually have had some, unfortunately, had the opposite effect where they've actually had harmful things done to their teeth, because when the doctor's not supervising the treatment, you really can't account for certain things. If a person starts with certain concerns, a certain health issue of a tooth, we have to be mindful of that when we're moving teeth. And if it's just, you know, something you're monitoring yourself, medical. You don't know that you're
in their face. I mean, it's yeah. literally medical. And then I've had people tell me that did the home aligner thing. Oh my God, I had to stop. Cause they hurt so bad. They hurt so bad. Didn't yours hurt? Doesn't it hurt? I'm like, no, what are you talking about? I mean, of course, first day, you know, every week you have me changing. And, yeah. and when I put the new aligner in there, it's like, because it's, you're moving something. And I'll be honest, doc, I'm cussing you out at that very moment. I'm like, what are you doing to me, Dr. Okay. G? Because something is, I know you, and I just trust you because I see what's happening, but you literally control how fast they shift. You control what shifts where. I've been there and you've said, okay, this needs a little work. The bottoms are fine. This one over here is not going where I really want it. And you've taken off, because there's these little things that you put on our teeth, the clack, you've taken them off and put new ones on and then ordered new sets so that you can shift the way you want to shift. And yeah. I learned to just kind of sit back and take the ride. This guy is the captain of this particular ship and let him go. And if you don't have that with home aligners, you know, that's kind of scary. To me, it's like going to fix your engine or get an oil change and you do it yourself in your driveway and you're wondering why you got oil stains and you got car leaks going on. You don't really know what you're doing. And if you don't take the pictures right, because I've been there when you guys did the 3D, you know, and the tech was like, hold on, I need to get this part right here a little bit more. I need to get down here. That's somebody who's trained and experienced at what they're doing and they got to do some retakes. I can't imagine what somebody's doing at home with their iPhone or something going, you know, that just sounds crazy to me. Is that yeah. literally what they're doing?
Yeah. I mean, they send you putty and tell you to take a mold of your teeth and then they send you aligners. And, you know, go back to your analogy with the oil change, or I've heard the other joke, like give yourself a haircut, hair yeah. grows back, right? But teeth, you only get one set. And so if people are causing, sometimes there's harm that can't be undone. And so thankfully the ones that I've been able to see that have, you know, had to kind of help them after they've had that at home journey on their own, we've been able to help them. But I've seen people and I've heard stories of people have lost teeth and have had things that are, you know, not correctable at that point. And so, you know, that's the scary part with power of advertising is you can be scrolling through your Instagram and you see, I can have that smile in only 3 months and it only costs, you know, X number of dollars and that's so much less, but you really do get what you pay for. And, you know, again, yeah. I might be biased here, but I feel like when it comes to your health or your body, yeah.
Well, it's because you have your body. Plan. You don't call in for heart surgery. I'm sorry. It's still in your body. And yeah, and I want to segue because I know you got to go and I don't want to keep you too long. But we need to talk about, you know, when I started this journey, I was what, 55 going on 56. It's been about a year and a half. You know, when is it too late? Or is it because of the teeth or your health of your teeth that determines if it's too late? Can you be any age and do this?
Yeah. I mean, there's not an actual specific age that once you hit it, teeth aren't going to move anymore. You know, we do a lot of adults. We have more than half our patients are adults.
Okay.
And I find that there's really one of three reasons that adults consider ortho. The first being cosmetics. And, you know, I have a lot of adults that tell me, hey, I haven't liked this about my smile my whole life. And people are living longer and longer. And if you're going to live into your 90s and you're 40, I mean, you're not even halfway there. So
yeah.
No time like the present to take care of the concerns. So beside the cosmetics of it, the other two that we find really often, one is function. When teeth don't fit properly or the bite doesn't fit properly, you're not going to notice the side effects when you're 12 or 13. But when those teeth have had a chance to sit in that position or function improperly for 20, 30, 40 plus years, you now can see some signs of wear and tear, whether it's the jaw joint or teeth getting worn down or chipping. And those are things that we want to correct, not just for cosmetics, but for the health. And then the third one being the hygiene, right? There's people who go to their dentist regularly and get their cleanings. And if your teeth are so crowded or so overlapped that there's areas you actually physically can't access with your toothbrush or your hygienist can't access with her instruments to clean, you're not gonna be able to properly care for those areas. And so aligning those teeth properly makes it much more accessible to clean and take care of. So the health becomes a part of it too, not just the way they look.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that, well, one, I never even thought about it until I met you, that people who have too crowded teeth or they're overlapping, that they go through this too. You know, I'm the opposite. My teeth were really, really spaced out. You know, I didn't need to use dental floss for the most part on my teeth, on my gums, yeah, but not like trying to get something out of my, because my teeth were so spaced out. And we'll put up a picture so everybody can see that. But I now, when I watch television or I watch movies or I'm walking, you know, to take out my trash or go to the mailbox or something, I'm noticing people's teeth now. And I'm like, you need to see Dr. G. You know, that could be fixed. That would be really cool.
Yeah,
see, I'm like your biggest cheerleader. So on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I have a grandson. I have three grandsons, but the youngest is going to be 2 in July and his teeth are starting to come in. And his mom made the comment, oh my goodness, I think the teeth are coming in crooked. And I'm going, okay, can't see Dr. G with your baby teeth. So when do you start that journey? When do you start thinking about coming to see you?
Yeah, really good question, which we get a lot. And the age that we sort of recommend everyone see an orthodontist for the first time is usually age 7. Age 7 is pretty young. Yeah, age 7, they're going to have a lot of baby teeth still. They've now started to get their, you know, first adult molars, the front teeth are coming in. And the reason we want to see them that young, not every kid at that age needs braces or Invisalign, but we can start to see patterns and things developing. And the main things we want to address is if we see a problem early enough and we can intervene, there's a lot of chance we can avoid bigger problems later, whether that be having to get teeth removed or having, you know, things like that. And so the most common things we run into is, you know, adult teeth aren't coming into the right position, whether they're kind of growing in the wrong way or there's just so much overcrowding that they can't properly come in. Sometimes we see a bite issue where there's a really big overbite or underbite that can lead to some developmental stuff. And if we can address some of those bite concerns early, you know, we can help things kind of mold into the right spot and grow into the right place. And then I have a young son who's very energetic. And a lot of times with kids that have teeth that are really protrusive, teeth that are sticking out, that could be a trauma risk. You see a lot of kids in that age group, the 7 to 9 group, that trip or, you know, bump into something and cause, you know, damage to the teeth. And so those are the big things we look for. I'm not so worried about a child having a rotated tooth at age 7. And so, you know, we evaluate at that age to really see if things are going in the right track. And I usually tell the parents, hey, you know, if things look pretty good overall, even if they're not perfect, we'll address that when all their adult teeth come in. But in those situations where we do see an early problem that can benefit from intervention or we can avoid further problems, we often will treat the children in a two-phase approach. So rather than just treating them as a single treatment like you're getting, where it's one time through, we'll do an early treatment, maybe for 9 months or a year when they're that age, kind of getting things on the right track so they can continue to develop and grow in the more normal way. And then at that point, when all their adult teeth have come in, we want to make everything perfect. So then maybe another year, year and a half down the line. So overall, you know, it's not 2 years and 2 years or, you know, 5 years of braces in a row. We don't want that. The goal is to keep it limited and just address the big issues that we see and really set ourselves up so that their teeth come in, you know, let nature help nature do it, you know, the easier way for us, basically.
Never would have thought of that. I just knew you were going to say 14, 15, you know, something like that. I never would have thought what you just said. But what else just played in my head is if they're coming in that early, that could be a way to address that whole fear, you know, because if they're coming in at 6, 7, 8, 9, they're too young to know the fear. But when you're even a teenager or preteen, your friends are going, oh man, you got to go to the dentist, dude, that's gonna hurt. Oh, and you're going, what, huh? You know, if you've already been going all this time, it would be like going to see your general practitioner for your checkup every year, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, to touch on the dental health side for children, we want them to see their pediatric dentist, you know, by age one or really early on when they start to get those teeth. And so hopefully they've already been doing that and have had a rapport and good experience with the dentist. So when it comes to the orthodontist, there's not a pre-existing fear. But yeah, these appointments that when we see a seven-year-old, it's a really quick check. It's an easy visit. We count their teeth. We kind of show them on that scanner on their pictures, what they look like.
Oh, they love it.
And just try to make, yeah. And you know what I love is I feel like that age group are always really, really excited. They want the colors. They want to show their friends. And they tend to be the most compliant patients. They want to please, you know, and they want to really be a part of it. And so I find they have a really good experience usually, and they do really well with it. Then they become, teenagers. Sorry, go for it.
No, go ahead. Finish.
I was going to say, you know, funny enough, the teenagers are the ones that sometimes are a little too cool for it, and they are a little bit to themselves, but the little ones want to know everything you're going to do, and they want to ask every question, and it's always really fun, so.
You know, and going back to your team being like a family, you guys do like contests, you got smile things, send me your pictures, post here, do that. Yeah, I noticed you did something like the whole month of Mothers of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I mean, you guys really try to interact with everybody. And that brings up, you know, before I let you out of hot seat, we can't pretend. It's 2021. They may be watching this in 2045 and they go walking into your office and go, Doc, I saw you when you were like 20 years younger on this YouTube video or something. But in 2021, we're in the heart of COVID, you know, and a lot of businesses, I just saw 10 million businesses, I believe, are struggling or have closed in the last year. You know, to think about an orthodontist surviving through COVID, you know, and all the things you had to go through, how did you adjust to that? What did you do? Because you guys are here, and I hope you're here to stay. How did you do that?
Good question. So a couple of things. On the health side of COVID, I think one thing that's good for dentistry in general, including orthodontics, is we operate by what we call standard precautions or universal precautions. And so to us, we treat every patient, whether it was 2020 or 2005, every patient that comes in, we approach it the same way. We have, you know, the PPE, the gloves, the masks, all the things in place already. To protect ourselves, our team, our patients. So that's always kind of been how we operate. So that wasn't a huge shock to the system. Now, you know, we did make some changes. We've added additional equipment. We added some air purification in the office, just things to, you know, go above and beyond for the safety. We do temperature checks for our patients. We have questionnaires to kind of screen everyone to make sure that we're doing our best to maintain everyone's health and safety. That helped it to be less of a shock to the system. Maybe compared to other types of businesses. But yeah, I mean, it was a challenge. You know, we closed the office down for almost 2 months and, you know, we were fortunate to be able to use some remote programs to be able to still see some of our patients remotely or take care of emergency things that we can kind of talk them through. But it was a big challenge. I mean, we are a small business. And so, you know, a lot of increase in costs, you know, things like gloves and masks are now costing tenfold what they cost, you know, a year and a half ago. And so those are adjustments for us, but yeah, I mean, I think we've been very fortunate that our patients are seeing that we are taking the safety part really seriously and people do feel comfortable. I was happy to hear you say that. That's, you know, what our goal was, is to make sure that our team and our patients are safe and so people aren't concerned to come in. And so we've been very fortunate. Patients are still wanting to come in and get their treatment and we haven't really had any issues with that. So I've been really happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very comfortable coming to your office. Like I said, before we started recording, I work out of my home. I'm doing everything out of my home. We shut our studio down during COVID. And it's like, there's family members I haven't seen for over a year that live right here in town. Cause it's like, are you crazy? I'm not coming there. There's COVID. But then I'll come to Dr. G and I don't think anything of it, you know, because I know you guys are going to take care of me. And you're literally a foot away from my face half the time because you're checking everything. And it's not just you, it's whoever at that moment, that tech or that assistant or whoever they are, have to do what they're doing. They scanned my teeth during COVID and created another 3D scan. They were right in there. And I wasn't freaking out, but I won't go to Walmart. Think about that. Yeah. I won't go to Walmart, but I will go see Dr. G. You are very good at what you do. When I walked in your office and you came walking in, I said, who is this kid and where is the doctor? And you sat down and you said, oh, I know, I'm Dr. G. This is what I do. Da, da, da. And I went, how long have you been here? And how long have you done this? Because I just thought, no way, I'm letting this kid work on my mouth and deal with my, ain't going to happen, as my father would have said. But I'm really happy to say that it's been a great journey. I know I'm not done yet. I still got a gap, one. And we have probably years to come. I have to come in for checkups and all that. But I personally want to take the time to say thank you, you know, because I never thought this was even possible. I was told by a couple of orthodontists over the years that it was impossible to close that gap. It was too big and that I should just have teeth pulled and put in a partial. And you came in and said, nah. This is how this works, and this is how we do it, and it'll be, you know, looking like this within 18 months. And I'm like, this guy's on drugs, it's not gonna happen. But it happened and it worked. So I thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show. I thank you for being my Dr. G, because hey, I can't complain. And I hope you'll come back again, because I know we're going to get questions. Maybe you can come on and do a live stream Q&A session with me or something, and just answer people's questions, because I know a lot of people want to ask things, especially to someone in your field where they don't have that fear, because you're answering it before they come and see you. So thank you so much. You're amazing. You really are amazing and a talented dude.
I appreciate all the kind words and thanks for trusting me. I know we're not done. I'm excited to get into your journey, and I'm excited for your audience to see kind of where we've come and where we're going. Happy to come back on. I love talking about teeth. I like to geek out over anything teeth related. So anytime you'll have me, happy to do it.
Hey Doc, before I let you get out of here, we got to tell people where to find you. How do they find you? Where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah. If you're looking for an orthodontist, you can find us at Mountain View Orthodontics. You can check out our website, mountainvieworthodonticslasvegas.com, or check us out on Instagram at bracesdoclv.
You know, now that COVID is starting, they're starting to try to get a control on it. I'm going to have to bring a camera over, and because people got to see your sock game, man. Your sock game is tight.
Let's do it.
I thank you, sir. I thank you so much for being on. Hey, everybody. Here's the show. This is what we talk about. This is what we do. We bring experts in the field that they have mastered and they're going to an authority level with. Dr. G, he's already an authority. He knows what he's doing and he helps even me. So if you're thinking about it, if you're 7 apparently or 7D and you haven't taken that chance to go in and just get that consultation, I'm gonna tell you it's one of the best decisions I ever made. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you're here next week. I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.